us together. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Let's sing that first verse together. My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend who watches over me when the breeze turns into a gale. Do you have that same friend? I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm your storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the sometimes I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the high. It may bring me low, it'll never bring me. The chorus again. If you know him, just lift your hand up tonight. Make him welcome. I know the master of the wind, and you're welcome here tonight, Lord. I know the maker of the rain. You have come my storm. May the sun shine again. That's so much to be thankful for right there tonight. We got several prayer requests we'll go ahead and take care of tonight and ask Brother Terry if he don't mind to come and pray over these. Let's remember Sister Geraldine Yance's niece Dottie. She has brain cancer, so a very serious need. Also, Patsy Gladfelter having knee surgery in Richmond, Virginia. Sister Janet Payne turns that request in. A prayer request for my wife, Carol Wade, having trouble with blood clots in her legs. Brother Wade turns that in. Let's remember her. Testimony, Sister Janet Kennedy said, several months ago, I had a growth come up on the side of my face. I had a doctor's appointment today and was going to see about having it removed. This morning when I woke up, it was gone. So we thank the Lord for that. Another prayer request for Brother Pink Phillips. He's being admitted to the VA Medical Center and will be going through tests to find a bleeding problem. So let's remember Pinky. And also, Sister Phyllis Phillips, her uncle passed away, so let's remember that family. Also, prayer request for Brother Mike Pierce. Became very ill yesterday when his heart rate almost stopped and his blood pressure dropped extremely low. His blood pressure is still going up and down. Please pray for my family also. Thank you. That's from Sister Irene Pierce, so for Brother Mike Pierce. Let's remember that. Request here, please pray for our family to be healed and reunited. Evil spirits are using our daughter-in-law and has filled her with bitter hate against us and the message. She keeps the grandchildren away from us totally, and the little children are so hurt and bewildered as we were as mom and dad for them. She also told our son that she would leave him if he has anything to do with us. No call, text, no contact. He's not a believer and first was trying to save his marriage, but those spirits are just moving in. So they're just asking for God for a deliverance. And that's just a prayer request that was just turned in over, you know, on the website there. So let's remember that. Just very serious need. If you will, stand with me tonight. Brother Terry, if you'd come and pray over these requests.
I sure am glad we got to go to church tonight, aren't you? Amen. I know if I didn't say that, somebody's going to be so disappointed. He's got to say that. Aren't we glad we get to go to church tonight? I'm going to say it until everybody says it from now on, until they close the doors. We are so happy we get to go to church tonight. Aren't you thankful for the shepherd, our shepherd? And you thank it for the great shepherd. He's just an under shepherd under the great shepherd. We're thankful for our shepherd and thankful for Christ, the great shepherd. I was reading sometime, I thought it was real interesting. In World War II, when they'd have a B-17, a B-24, whatever in Europe, you know, that was, it wasn't down, but it was crippled. They sent out a special plane to escort it back home safely. Another fighter just sent out just to escort that crippled plane back home safely. And you know what they call that escort plane? They call it the Shepherd. Send another plane out to escort that crippled one. So, you know, that's just the duty. The Shepherd helps to get the crippled people back home safely. And I'm thankful for that. Let's pray. Thank God for what He's done for us. Lord Jesus, how we look to You tonight. My heart just burns with such joy and thrill when we get to go to church. A brother here and there, he'll text me this morning and said, you know what, Brother Terry, we get to go to church tonight. And it just thrills my heart that, you know, just a little inspiration is rubbing off on others and they just see they have the same thrill and the same desire and our focus and our motivation and our passion is to come to the house of God. Not only just come say, not because we can say, well, we've been to church, but we come to meet Christ. We come to hear You. We come to learn of You. We come to worship You. Lord, it's You're our bridegroom, our master, our maker, our lover. You're altogether lovely. Just altogether lovely. What could the Shulamite say outside of You're just altogether lovely? We thank You tonight. We welcome You. We ask that You take the uppermost seat. Lord, there's many needs here tonight. Not only what has been written, not only what these papers have been read. Brother Joel has read them and Brother Pinky has a condition there, Lord, some bleeding. I pray that You'll touch his body. Lord, they won't have to research any farther, and You just stop it, and it'll be okay. We thank You for how You've touched Sister Pruitt, and we thank You for the updates there. We ask that just each one of these requests that I hold in my hand, may it be a testimony of Your healing touch when it's all done, whether it be today, tonight, tomorrow, Lord, in time, because all healing comes from You, and all good and perfect gifts come from above, and we just commit it into Your hands. We believe You promised it. We believe it's going to come to pass. We believe there's faith in the building. We believe You said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, you shall have them. If you bind me and my birds bind you, just ask what you will. All Your promises, it's all been paid for. You just said, can you appropriate that faith and can you believe? And Lord, we are believers. So we thank You for these requests. We believe they will, each one of them, be manifested, Lord, in Your will and Your time. So we thank You for that. I pray that You anoint Brother Donnie tonight. Give him the words to speak. Lord, let as we read, and I think it's Psalms 122:1, David said, I was happy when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. We're happy to be here. And Lord, we know You're happy to meet with us because this is God's chosen place of worship. Speak to us through Thy word, and may we come a little bit closer to You tonight, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You can be seated this evening.
Well, in the town of Bethlehem, God came down to visit Mary. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? He knew pain and loneliness as He wore that robe of flesh. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love?
Just what he came to do, wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? But he rose up from the grave so I could rise up today. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Let's sing the chorus again. Wasn't that love? How he left his home above, down on Calvary, just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love?
Amen. If the brothers would like to come and lift the offering tonight, we have just a couple of announcements. There's going to be a trustees meeting just after the service. And also, there's a new CD from the services here. I don't see me on here anywhere. So never mind about that. There is a blood drive. Don't forget, blood drive. And I think tonight is the last opportunity to sign up. And the ladies that are doing this, was telling Brother Jimmy that they don't ever remember the blood banks being as low as they are right now. So they're just really, really urging folks to come out and donate. It doesn't hurt that bad. Some people even think it's good for you. You get new blood back. No comment on that, but you should give. It's very helpful. It's very important to do. So let's all make our contribution there. I think Brother John Linichek and some of the young people, I believe it is, have a song. If y'all want to go ahead and come and be getting ready to sing. And let's sing this together, When I Think About the Lord. When you sing this with me, Think about these words. This is a wonderful song. How he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. Just that right there, that's enough. We're set for life right there. Amen. Let's think about these words when we sing them.
When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet
Thank you.
We sure appreciate that song tonight. Great job. I think there's a brother Khan with us in the service tonight. Brother Louis was telling me, and he may have a song for us tonight. If you could come sing for us.
Good afternoon, my dear brothers and sisters. God bless you, Happy Valley. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so privileged to be here to bless you all with a wonderful song. Happy Valley, you all are very privileged people. And the Spirit said, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. I am a poor, straying pilgrim, traveling through this world below. There is no sickness or no danger in that bright world to which I go. I'm going there to see my Savior. I'm going there no more to roam. And I just go Jordan, and I just go going over home. I know dark clouds who gather around me. I know my pathway is rough and steep, but golden fields lie out before me. Where weary eyes no more shall we. I'm going there to see my Father.
Appreciate that song. Let's stand tonight. Look forward to what Brother Donnie would have for us this evening. Let's just sing this together as Brother Donnie comes.
In Jesus' name we press on.
meet the Lord Jesus. Let's turn tonight to the book of Numbers, if you would, chapter 14, verse 12. Numbers chapter 14, verse 12. The children of Israel are standing in a very, very dangerous position. There's one man standing between God and 2.5 million people. They're this close to being annihilated completely. God says, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight, Father, for your great presence that we know is among us. I'm so grateful, Heavenly Father, to know that your presence is alive and well, being seen and identified with the saints of God in this last days. Lord Jesus, we desire this presence to change our hearts, to change us, to be made more like you, Father. As we look into your word tonight, I pray that you would help us to take these things which have been written so many, many years ago, but may they transcend and move beyond the pages of history. May it become living to us tonight, Father. For even though the things are written so many years ago, we believe the Bible has in its ability to contain stories which are of old, stories which have the ability to empower us even today. We ask for your help, your guidance, your counsel. May we be illuminated by the presence of God. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus that we ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. How many times does God forgive rebellion, stubbornness, hard-headedness? How many times can God be pulled upon, asked like this, to where that the man that is doing the asking doesn't become a risk himself? It's hard to know. It's hard to know how long that God will go without striking back, not only at the sinner, but the one that is bringing the petition. But apparently Moses still feels that he has the liberty to be able to ask God on behalf of the people. Let's go on in verse 15. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. Now this, to me, it's a strange perspective. Now I don't know Egyptians, okay? I don't know Philistines, Amorites, Hittites. Was Moses guessing? Was Moses surmising? Or was this the consensus of what would have been the mindset of the people in this day? Now this seems strange for you and I to present this to God, that you would say, now God, if you do this, this is really going to hurt your honor and your reputation, because you know how these people are. The Egyptians have heard what you've done. They saw your power. They've done been testified to that you're going to bring this people out to a land flung with milk and honey. Now, if they hear that you've killed all these people, what they're going to do, they're going to completely turn this around on you. They're not going to magnify the sin of the people and the unbelief of the people. They're going to completely turn this story around and say it was your fault altogether. They're going to say that you had enough power to bring them out, but you didn't have enough power to take them on through. And as he brings this to God, and he lays this scenario out to God, watch, he says, because the Lord, in verse 16, was not able to bring this people unto the land. Now, he was big enough God to bring them out. And he was big enough God to be able to do a few miracles along the way. But as he got further out, his power run out. He kind of run out of juice. You know, his batteries are running out a little bit. Isn't this amazing how that a man would take this perception and present it to God? Now, this is his case why God should kill him. Now, I want you to notice he's not saying, these people are good people. They're worthy of you saving them. I'll tell one thing, they're good people. Didn't have a ground to stand on, did he? I mean, he didn't have one ground to stand on. So what is he bringing back to God? God's honor, God's integrity, God's name, God's character, God's reputation. Don't you understand this is a real perspective of a mediator? Well, you and I, can you imagine when we're in the middle of trouble and we really need somebody to mediate for us, and they go to bring up all our good points, I mean all five of them, and then when they get done with all five and they... Well, for those of you who are too good issues, I mean, you've got seven, all the rest of us have got five. But when they get done with your five or seven, whichever it is, and then they go to point all your faults and all your mistakes and all your shortcomings, you're still going to be way outweighed like this. So this man knows exactly how to be a mediator. I wonder sometimes if we, when we're pleading to God on behalf of our wives, our children, our husbands, whatever it is, instead of bringing to God, God, he's smoking, God, he's drinking, God, he's this, God, he's that. But if you're not careful, before long, you'll be so discouraged, you won't even want to pray no more. Why don't you plead on the character of the loving God? Now, Moses is not ignorant in the sense that he's not going to mention their sin as if they were to go away. But what he's going to do, he's going to place the sin of the people. And it was great. But look at the approach of a true mediator which has understanding of divine providence. He will lay out the balance of sin. He will lay out the balance of their mistake and their shortcoming. But he will make the greatness of God so much bigger. And he'll make the character of God and the integrity of God so much bigger that it don't even make sense if God don't do it this way. You're talking about a mediator which understands the appropriation of faith to pull on the very heartstrings of God. Now remember, he has the destiny of these people in his hands. You imagine, this is not something, let me go ahead and do it, get it over with, and God can do whatever he wants to do. This man knows better than that. He's not just running up there to run through it. Well, let's have church and I'll go home and do whatever we want to do afterwards. This man knows this is serious stuff. If he had not taken this on his heart, the outcome of this story would have been totally, completely different. Now, he said, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. Now, they're going to make it look like that the power of God is so small that God couldn't follow it through. Now, watch him in verse 17. Now, I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great. Now, what's he doing? He's not saying to God, the people didn't do wrong, just try to forget about it. But what is he overwhelmingly asking for? Let the power of God be greater display than the sin and the unbelief of these people. Oh my. Notice what he goes to now. Verse 18. The Lord is long suffering and of great mercy. How are you going to turn a man down like this? How are you as God going to turn a man down like this? I mean, he's playing your heartstrings just right. He's playing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound of the song wasn't even written yet. He's moving so much on God's being. Notice how he's approaching it. If Moses could do that, friend, what about our Lord Jesus? What about our Lord Jesus, a sinless, absolute, perfect mediator in the presence of God? Oh, hallelujah. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. Now notice what he says. Forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. Now watch what he's doing. It would seem as if though he's praying in contradiction. But he's specifying to God what he's asking for. He wants the Lord to know. Now, God, I'm not asking you to act as if though they have not done wrong. But what I'm asking you to do is pardon, but not totally clear. Now, I know this may be a little bit of stumbling to some of you, because some of you think you can do whatever you want to do, and then you go repent and you stop all the seed sowing. You never done any such thing. The seed sowing that you done, it'll come up anyhow. The forgiveness is God pardoning your sin, but the seed goes right on. Exactly right. Now watch him. He says, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. So he keeps on visiting then the iniquity of the fathers right down upon the children. But aren't they forgiven? They are. Now what God is going to do, God is going to hear this petition. And Moses is not going to ask, now Lord, just act like nothing ever happened. In the first place, I want you to just completely pardon them, and I want you to clear them. There is a difference. There is a difference in being pardoned and cleared in the Old Testament. Now, a person could be pardoned of what they've done wrong, but yet what they had done wrong would still be reaped, and it might come years later, months later, weeks later, or within a few hours. Now, Moses is differentiating between the justice of God. I am not asking you to clear them as if though they were absolutely, totally sinless, but what I want you to do is pardon them and don't destroy them as one man, because this is what God threatened. God said, I will destroy them all. Moses said, no, God, please, don't destroy them all. I'm not asking you to act as if though that they're totally innocent, but just don't destroy them. Now he said, by no means clearing the guilty, physically the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. You mean to people that's already been pardoned? Oh, yes. Moses did not request now that the guilty would be clear. Watch this in verse 19. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy. Notice how the greatness and the expression that he's emphasizing so much, not the greatness of the sin, the greatness of the unbelief, the greatness of the shortcoming, but the greatness of mercy, the greatness of forgiveness, the greatness of all. Oh my, this is a man that understands real grace. Now this is not a man that thinks you can live any way you want to live and say, well, the greatness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. He knows better than that, but he knows how, when sin has been done, to be able to approach it in the right way and move on God's heart. Children, let me ask you something. We pray and we say prayers and we read the Bible and we listen to tapes and we come to church, but as individuals, do we know how to move God's heart? Do we know how to get a hold to Jesus? If Jesus was here, right here tonight, would you and I have the ability to stop him right here on this service? And the Lord Jesus be so moved by your faith, or the Lord Jesus so moved by your need or your compassion for someone else, that you have the ability to stop Jesus Christ. No matter how deep we are, how profound we would be, oh, that's well and good and it has its place. But in reality, I need the ability to stop him more than I need the ability to be a great theologian. Because theology is not what heals me when I'm sick. Theology is not what delivers me when I'm oppressed. But it's my faith and the promise of the Word of God and being able to stop the Lord Jesus no matter what the circumstance is. Now watch. Moses has this ability. I'm watching him as he makes the last final plea now. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy. As thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even unto now. Now God, remember now, you cannot change. You cannot change. You have already proven your mercy to these people. I am simply reminding you what you have already done now, Father. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you at all what to do. But I am reminding you what you've already done. I feel like I can do that and not get in trouble. You have already brought them out from Egypt to where they are right now. You've done this over and over. Children, I believe myself. I believe the Lord loves to be reminded of His Word. I believe He loves to be reminded of things that He's done in our lives. Don't you? Oh my. According to thy great mercy. Now the sin of the people was great, but the emphasis that Moses is pulling out to God is, the sin of the people is great, but your mercy is so much greater. This is no problem for you to do. I know you can do it, and I believe you will. Oh my. And the Lord said, I have pardoned. According to the ox, according to the blood offering, according to the atonement of the turtle dove, the pigeon, the she heifer. You mean this man offered no blood? This man offered no blood? God is going to pardon him according to word? Glory to God. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according, not my word. I've not pardoned them according to my word, but I have pardoned them according to thy word. And people think a prophet of God does not have a special place in God's eyes. I'd like for the Pope to do this. I'd like for some of the folks who are standing against the message. I'd like for you to do this. I love for any one of you to be able to stand right there, and God's going to wipe out 2.5 million people, and you stand there and let God hear your plea, and God be so moved by your being and your representation upon the earth that God would say, I'll pardon 2.5 million people for your sake. Would he for you, Brother Donnie? Absolutely not. I don't have that standing with God. Well, don't that bother you? Absolutely not. I know what my standing it is, and it ain't this. Praise the Lord. My standing is not to be a prophet. My standing is not to be one that has this kind of favor with God. But I'll tell you one thing. I want to use, enjoy, and love whatever my standard is with God. Now watch. The Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Such power that it pleased God that God would hear the petition of this man. And this man's word alone would be an atonement that it would absolutely stop imminent death from moving on these people. And God would hear, oh, thank God for his mercy. God answered Moses indeed and pardoned their sin. But now watch, look at the separation now of what God is going to do. Now God is not going to kill them all as one man. Instant death is not going to be imminent, it's not going to be around. God said, all right, I've pardoned them according to thy word. But notice verse 21, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Now God pardon them. They're not going to die immediately. But God says, I'll tell you right now, they will not cross over and go into that land. Moses never asked for that. He never asked God to clear them of the doubt. He asked God to forgive them. Isn't it amazing that just praying the right way might get part of that prayer answered and part of it delayed and part of it stalled because we're praying the wrong way? Even in asking for our children, many of you want you, well, I want God, I want all my children to be bride. But does God want them to be bride? It's not your choice to choose who your children or your loved ones are bride. The election is up to God. We can't even choose that on our own. I'll tell you one thing. I want my family to be saved. I don't ask God to make them all bride. I'm talking about my brother, my nephews, all my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, all that sort of thing. That's entirely up to God to do that. But I do ask God, be merciful to them. Have mercy on them, Lord. Don't let them die lost. Lord, if they live outside the city, if they're foolish virgin, whatever they are, but have mercy on them, Lord. Don't you see what Moses is doing? Moses has got enough sense to know that he's got a boundary. He's got a line. He must be careful. And God now recognizes it and comes back and said, I've heard your prayer. According to your word, I will pardon. I will not kill them. But I want to let you know right now, these people will not go into my land. And he puts it right back upon them saying 10 times, they have tried me. They have tempted me. And because of that, they're not going in. Does that contrary to Moses' prayer? He never prayed that in the first place. So he prayed God would be merciful. When Abraham stands out there and prays for Lot, he does not pray that God will make Lot elect. But he asked God to be merciful to Lot. God done exactly what Abraham prayed. When God was going to go down there and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, what did he do? God stopped by for a little bit of fellowship with his friend. And he went to tell his friend what he was going to do. Now remember, Abraham, amen, Abraham saw God come down. But the Sodomites never saw God. They saw angels. But Abraham had the presence of Melchizedek standing up there with him. The Sodomites never seen it. So is it today. The Sodomites and the Sodomite churches will never see the manifestation of the presence of God that's among the bride. But my friends, we have among us King Melchizedek. He is King God, King Jesus, King Theophany. He is manifesting himself among us. Don't expect them to understand, because they won't. But you ought to count it the greatest honor of your life that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is walking up and down in the midst of us and living in our souls, in our homes, in our fellowship. Hallelujah. Notice what God said in verse 23. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But I love this verse. But my servant Dog. The word Caleb in Hebrew means dog. Caleb was the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite from Esau. Glory. Not an Israelite. The Bible says he was given a portion among the tribe of Judah. If it had been born in the tribe of Judah, they wouldn't have had to give him a portion. But he was given a portion in the tribe of praise. That's where all good saved Gentiles belong, in the shouting tribe. Amen. They know they have no mercy merited to them. They know they're not worthy of grace. Can you imagine whenever the spies was chosen and sent out, and here come this dog of the Gentiles that was chosen and sent over there to spy out the land, and he come back and said, we are more than able. We are more than able to take the land. Here was a Gentile dog. Oh my, hallelujah. But he believed the promise of God. He wasn't raised in the message like the rest of these guys, but he believed God. God had given him grace. He had found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He said, let's go take it right now. And the rest of them said, what in the world is the matter with you, man? Are you crazy? He saw the same thing they saw. He saw the giants. He saw the city. He saw everything else. But what he saw was that God's word was bigger than the giants. God's promise was bigger than the unbelief. And he said, we are more than able to take it. And when God pronounced judgment as the white hair wigged one on the rest of those in the book of Numbers, the wig come off to Caleb, and he said, Caleb, my servant, will inherit it. What was it? The black, young, bushy-headed man standing there talking to Caleb, not the great Ancient of Days that was judging the rest of them. Hallelujah! But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and have followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. It didn't make no difference how many times he come down with pneumonia. It didn't make no difference how many times he had the bird flu, the dog flu, the hog flu, the horse flu. It didn't make no difference what that old boy got. God's promise was, I'm bringing him to the land. You imagine old Caleb land there all broke down with a fever, lumbago on his back, gout in his big toe, in the awful shape that ever was. And his wife saying, honey, I don't know if you're going to make it or not, but old Caleb aroused up and said, my name has been called by the Lord God. Amen. The seal has broke around my life. I will get my inheritance because God said so. There ain't enough sickness. There ain't enough disease. There ain't enough trouble to keep me out of it. He's done called my name. Well, let me say, that same Lord God has called your name. Hallelujah. Now let's go to chapter 16. I was sitting the other day studying on the book of Numbers, reading verse by verse each chapter. And as I came upon chapter 16, hasn't been that long ago, a year or so, year and a half ago maybe, that I dealt with this about Korah. And as I began to read down through these verses again, I thought within myself, I thought, well, it's not been that long really since I dealt with that. So I really don't think I'll deal with this again. So I took the pages of my Bible and I started flipping them over past chapter 16, on over to 17 and 18 and so on. And just as I did, I heard him say, don't skip this. So guess what? We're not going to skip this. Now watch, Numbers chapter 16 verse 1. We're talking about the lives of the prophets. Now Korah the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. Now Korah was actually a first cousin of Moses and Aaron. A first cousin. But something had happened now prior to Numbers chapter 16, and that was that another cousin of Korah, which was a younger fellow, was actually chosen to be head of the Kohathite tribe. Now the Kohathites were a subsidiary or subdivision of the tribe of Levi. And the Kohathites were the one who carried the ark and the furniture and all that. And this younger man was chosen over Korah. And you know how it is when it comes to position. I find it so amazing in church that people can love a ministry and they can love the music and love the preaching and this and that and the other. Boy, if you ever, they get ever get skipped over for a position or they get bumped out of a position, all that great love they've had for that church and that singing and that preacher, it's like it just goes out the door. And then you realize what matters most is position. Now, sir, you told me to preach this, so. So Korah being discontent with the choosing of a younger relative in this position, he begins to be the founder now of this move. Notice how the scripture says it again. Now Korah the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, which were sons of Reuben. Now remember, in the setting of the tribes, when the tribes would set up around the tabernacle, east, west, north, and south, that Moses, by the direction of God, had told certain tribes, you camp this way, you camp this way, three of you be on the east side, three of you on the west side, three on the north side, three on the south side, and whenever it come to this choosing, it worked out so that the Levites were right next door, camped right beside the tribe of Reuben. So here Korah already has this complaint that is going on. And he's already been rubbed the wrong way. You know, he's not been chosen over. He should have been this and that and the other. And he wasn't. So he's already got a problem with it. Now he lives in the camp, in the church. He lives next door to Reuben's camp. Now remember, Reuben had also been sort of like this many, many years ago when Reuben had went into his father's concubine. And whenever he did, the chastisement of the Lord came upon his prophet father and told him, said, because you've done this, you're unstable, you're weak as water, you went into my couch, this and this, you're losing the right of inheritance, you're losing the priesthood, you're losing all that. So here these sons of Reuben, many generations now thereafter, but they've still got this grudge on their shoulder because they're not being chosen and they're not being used to do this and that and the other. And the saints said, so they were very discontented. Now, so we got Korah, which is from the Kohathites, which is a subsidiary of the Levites. And then we have these Dathan and Abiram, which are of the Reubenites. And then another man here, which appears only briefly, and then he disappears. Apparently, he had enough sense to find it back out of that trouble. But anyway, whenever we look at these guys and we see that any time something like this arises, that there's always a visible issue which is put forth. But most of the time, there's always a hidden issue which is behind it. Now, what they want to do, very subtly, very slyly, they want to set forth the visible issue, what our problem with Moses is. Our problem with Moses is he's trying to take too much on himself. He's trying to be the main thing. He thinks he's the only one that can have visions and all this pillar of fire stuff. It's the only one that ever happens to him. All the rest of us can't never do nothing. We can't go nowhere. We can't do nothing without his consent. He gets the government side. His brother gets the Levitical priesthood. His nephews and nieces, his sister gets the tambourine department in church. It's a whole family run deal. Oh my. Now God has brought them out of the land of Egypt, but they don't understand freedom. You see, people think freedom is they're free to do whatever they want to do. That's not freedom at all. Freedom comes with disciplinary action. Freedom, as I mentioned to you this weekend, that we live in a democracy. Yet, if you live in a subdivision, you cannot just go out there and build a teepee out there and go over. I tell you what you do. You go up at Gates of Highland or the Ridges or somewhere up there and buy you one of them lots, pay $200,000 for it or whatever you're going to pay, and go out there and get Brother Dave Swanson to build you a big wigwam. See how well that goes over. Now, you say this is my property. It may be your property, but when you adjoined and agreed into that covenant of that subdivision, there's no wigwams allowed. There's no teepees. There's no none of that sort of thing. There's no totem pole, so you can't put one up. So freedom comes with regulation. This thing that people hate. They don't like to be told where to go, how to dress, how to, all this, that, and other. And they think, well, you're free without it. No, you're not free without it. You're really only free once you're in the confines of the declared truth of God. Don't do this, don't go there, stay away from this and that. Now, because of this, they are looking at this new move, which is full of freedom. But to them, because their thinking is unregenerate thinking, they're looking at a prophet as bondage. They're looking at these regulations of worship. They're looking, well, my goodness, what's the difference in this and Egypt? Well, a whip, one thing. Pillar of fire, another. Pillar of cloud, another. Can I go on? You got one thing after another, but the way their minds are relating it together, they're looking at Egypt and they're saying bondage. They're looking at Moses and they're saying bondage. They're looking at the Egyptians, the way they beat them, and they're looking at Aaron. You can't do this. You can't offer the right kind of fire. You got to do this and that, the other. My goodness, this sounds like a bunch of legalism. We're going right back into bondage again, and Moses is the king now, I suppose. We left Pharaoh and we come out here to King Moses. So you got Brother Korah, Brother Dason, Brother Abiram, Brother On. But Brother On learned how to turn off, and then Brother On come off. Thank God for old Brother On. At least he lived. Now look at what they're going to bring up. They're going to accuse, of course, this man. And they rose up before Moses was certain of the children of Israel. Now look what we got. So we got Korah, we got Dathan, we got Abiram, we've got On, and we've got certain men. Now these are not riffraff in the sense of men of least esteemed honor among the children of Israel. They rose up with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Now, people like this are dangerous. But yet, we need people like this. We need people in the congregation who have the ability to be able to influence people, do we not? Now, all these people are not priests, they're not prophets, but yet they're people of renown. Now, if a renowned person can maintain that ability to be renowned and keep it under the divine order of God, it's a wonderful thing, but you'll find very few in the camp. Because once you get a little influence in the assembly, a little influence in a move, then they'll begin to pull that thing right toward them. Now, this is what the whole thing is about. So, you've got Korah, you've got Dathan, you've got Abiram, you've got On, you've got 250 princes famous among the congregation men of renown. Now we're looking at people that looks like that have people of great credibility. So the Bible says 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gather themselves together against Brother Branham and against the God called ministry. They gather themselves together against Moses. Same spirit today, friend. People that are gathering against the prophet of God and gathering against the God called men, it's just the same thing. The very same thing. And said unto them, ye take too much upon you. Now watch now what they're doing. Listen carefully how that they word this. Whatever you find complaining and rebelling among God's people, you watch how that this works. So Korah's public complaint. Now remember this too. There's a public complaint that is set forth to the people. And then there is a private real reason, which most generally is kept away from the simple, those that are, it's easy to see. So you keep this back here. This is the way that it comes though. It's an agenda. So it's a public something. And then there's the private thing that only the real close ones know really what's going on behind the scenes. So they come and they make this charge to Moses and Aaron. You all are taking too much on yourself. This ain't right. We're supposed to be free. We're supposed to be having a big revival out here where everybody can do whatever they want to do and just do whatever and go whichever direction to live how they want to live. We can't even go to town without your permission. We can't even wear this and wear that. You say we can't even cut our hair. Why, you say it's wrong to paint our face and wear men's breeches. You're trying to bring us back into Babylonian captivity. No, I'm trying to take you to heaven. Women in heaven don't wear breeches. Woo. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. Now look, friend, this is the facade in front of the real motive. The real motive behind them, we'll see in a little bit what it is. But this is what they're telling the people. And this is what, when they gather their congregation. Now look, they've got a church already. Pretty good sized church. 250 people. So they gather them together. You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. Every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Moses never said the Lord wasn't among them. Moses never said that the Lord had not sanctified his people. He never said the people was not holy. He hadn't said none of that at all. So they are reading into what Moses had said. Oh my. You see, the Lord was among them, was he? He, according to Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 and 4, he said he wanted them to be a kingdom of priests. Well, all right, if God said, this is according to what Moses said, now the prophet that brought him out. Now he's saying, well, God changed that. Now God, instead of wanting all y'all to be a priest, instead of the elder of every family being a priest, God said he'll take the tribe of Levi. Well, that's very convenient, Moses, since that's your family's tribe. And after all, we only have your word for this. We never heard God say this himself. Would you please make up your mind, Moses, according to what you told us back there several months ago, you said God wanted all of us to be a bunch of priests. Now you're saying God told you that he said he'd take the tribe of Levi. And that he gave the Kohathites to Aaron. Who gives you the right to give any human being to another one? Was there any witnesses there that can prove God said this? Was there any Hollywood cameras? iPhones, Droids, Samsungs, whatever. Was there any other witness there that heard God say Levi was his choice? So we have one man's word for it. Now you're the congregation. Are you going to believe Korah, Dathan, Abiram, on and off, off and on? Or are you going to stand with God's prophet? Now remember, you can't prove it. Well, I say that. Really, you can. But you can't. Faith is more proof than science can ever offer. But you just can't prove it to the person who don't have it like you do. To you, it's proven. Because it's revelation. It's real to you. But you can't scientifically prove it to somebody else. Oh my. My, my. Now the hidden reason is that Brother Korah here, he's sick and tired of being overlooked. He's not the main man in his own tribe. And he's a subsidiary from Levi itself since his father went this way and he was a brother only of Levi. So because of that, does that make sense to you? That God would choose this one man above the other. I thought all of Israel was chosen.
I'm just as good as they are. I've probably got more abilities than they do. And Moses picked right over me. And Moses picked right over my father. And now we got a younger cousin of mine to head up the tribe of the Kohathites. And he won't let poor old Reuben here. Bless his heart. It burns me up. I'm sorry, preachers. Poor old Reuben. He made a bad mistake and you're his grand youngins is having to pay for it. And the 250 was saying, amen. Amen. Preach it, brother. You see, the selfish desire for greatness is a dominant thought all the way through Scripture. From the book of Genesis, when the first two mortals came outside the garden gate and were shut outside at the altar. The desire for greatness has been a dominant thing that has always fought the humble. You see, whenever we find that raising up, it doesn't really take much discernment if you look at it. Absalom desired to be greater than his father, David. It was not the Holy Ghost that put that desire in him, it was the devil. Adonijah rose up with exactly the same thing. Right? The disciples, before they got the Holy Ghost, they started arguing and fussing about the same thing. Diotrephes, John wrote about him in the book of John. And whenever saints and preachers would come through, Diotrephes wouldn't even let them in the church. And if anybody would receive them preachers, Diotrephes would throw them out. Diotrephes was a businessman in the first century. Well, praise the Lord. You see, friends, it is this something, the selfish desire for more than what God has made you to be. Always the person who wants to be that is generally the person God never calls anyway. But it's like they cannot get that in their head. People around them can see it. Other people can look at them and see it, but they can't see it. They think they're being held back by somebody. Oh, my. Notice now in verse 3. You know what their sin was. Their sin was rebellion against the order that God chose. Every person who knowingly rebels against the ministry and the teaching of Malachi 4 is rebelling against Almighty God Himself. Not Brother Branham. Not Brother Branham. God. How could Brother Branham place himself in that position? How could Brother Branham give himself that renown? How could he do that? He could not do it. He didn't even want it himself. Who did it? Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How was it an old shoe cobbler up in Chicago? God could get a hold of it. Ugly and whine through his nose and this and that and the other. How could he place himself to be one of the great prince of preachers? It was not himself. It was Almighty God who done it. Hallelujah. Look at different ones among us and ones that we know in this day and show me one of them that wanted to be where they are. Show me one of them today of the great men of God that's out on the field and pasturing and all that who's tried to push themselves. You show me one who's tried to do it and I'll show you a man that God runs away from. But show me a man that'll say, God, I don't want it. God, no, please don't pick me. That's the man that God gravitates toward because that's the man God can use. Come on, children. And the more God uses him, the littler he gets. And the more God uses him, the littler he gets. Why? He don't want a position. He don't want a place. All he wants to do is please his master. And he stands up there and he goes across his violin. And he brings tears in people's eyes. And he brings joy. And he brings a crescendo at the end of the orchestra. And the people applaud and applaud and applaud. And the people are moved and moved and moved. But it don't move him at all. What's he looking for? He's looking for the maestro. He's looking to see what the teacher had to say. I love it when people rejoice and God uses me. These other brothers know what I'm talking about. Oh, but I'll tell you, that ain't what I listen for alone. I want to know, Lord, was you pleased with the service? Was you pleased with Saturday night, Lord? Was you pleased with Sunday morning? If you was, that's what matters, Lord. Oh, my. Watch Numbers chapter 3, verse 9. Thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest office. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. How many believes this is true? Now I want you to prove it to me. What other witness do you have other than just this one man's word? And you know what? You don't need it. You don't need a microscope. You got faith. You're not waiting for somebody to dig up a rock somewhere and Lord, right in this and well, and then another rock over there, set another rock over there. You've already got the rock in here anyway. But you see, people who are looking for things and picking for things, God will always leave little loops in it where they can find them. Praise God. Notice now, back to chapter 8, verse 19. I've given the Levites as a gift to Aaron. God is giving free men to other men as a gift. Now wait a minute, I thought we was going to a land flowing with milk and honey. Everybody's free. Everybody had their own fig tree, their own vine, and all that sort of thing. Sound like to me we got a problem here. God is going to give one bunch of men to this other Aaron's brother and nephews. Moses' brother. Family again. To do the service of the children of Israel, the tabernacle, the congregation, to make an atonement for the children of Israel. That there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. Now you imagine how Korah and Dathan and Abiram said, look what he's doing to you, brothers. No doubt the man is probably sincere. He probably is hearing voices. But how do we know it's not demons? How do we know Moses is not bipolar? I guarantee you one thing, if we look up a lot of his symptoms, probably people today diagnose him as being bipolar, tripolar, quadpolar, or whatever. He's hearing all these voices and hearing all these strange things. Oh my goodness, how in the world are we ever going to prove such a thing? Why would make a man do something like this? In verse 3, they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said, you take too much upon you. Saying, all the congregation of Hor are holy. Every one of them and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then you lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Now the ultimate design, of course, is to mask his own selfish motive. His own selfish motive. So take your eyes off of the prophet of God, a God called ministry tape, so on and so on and so on, and then move all of that over here to their website. Well, if all the people are the same, then let's all have the same website. Let's all have one. And then you should, and you, and you, and you, and you, you should be as smart as everybody else that has their own website. But you see, that's not the true motive. The true motive is for Korah to find himself a position that God never gave him. Whew. Oh my. It's amazing though. You always find this that when God will pick people and raise them up, that there'll be the carnal element there that'll think it was just man alone who did it. Isn't it amazing? Now watch Moses. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Here's the real servant of God. Now remember, this man has a temper problem. Okay? But he didn't grab for his Uzi. He didn't reach for his 9mm. He didn't reach for all this. But what you notice when he's confronted, whenever in the time of such distress that he knows, Brother Dale, what they're doing, they're not coming against him. They're coming against God. So what does he do? He falls upon his face. Friends, I'm convinced many times we take when we're persecuted and hated and this, that, and the other, and we take it on ourselves. Poor little old me, this, that, and the other. Why don't we approach it like Moses did? God, have mercy on those that are doing this. Instead of trying to take the judgment of God, bless God, I'll tell you one thing, God will do this and this. Let God do all that sort of thing. You know what? That person might repent tomorrow and then all that damnation you put on and you turned out to be a false prophet. Uh-oh. And Moses heard it. He fell upon his face. Why? His all-sufficient resource was a place he knew to go to in the time of trouble. He knew it was not himself. He did not consort to the people. He did not go to Aaron, but he called upon the name of the Lord. It's good to have brothers and sisters. It's good to rely upon one another to a degree. But don't never put nobody in front of Jesus. Now watch what he does. He spake unto Korah. And to all his church, company. Saying, even tomorrow, the Lord will show who are his. And who is holy. And will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen, will he cause to come near unto him. Now here's Korah, Dathan, Abiram. 250 princes. This rebellion has anointed their hearts so much, they're going to accept this challenge. It don't scare them and they say, oh Lord have mercy. I'm sorry buddy. Hey, I should have never done this. Please forgive me. But they accepted the challenge. God's word had done said, nobody will come and bring this fire except him that I choose. But they've gone so far. They've moved so into this and it absolutely has given them such a boldness. They say, gladly, we'll meet you here tomorrow. Now watch, he keeps pulling them in. Verse 6. This do. Take you censers. Korah and all his company. According to what God had already said, nobody's supposed to do this but Aaron and his sons. Only priests. When they reach to get that censer right there, they're moving into the office of a priest. Oh my goodness, children. May God help us. Dathan, Korah, Abiram, 250 princes. Now watch in verse 7. And put fire therein. And put incense. And you know what they could have said? Well, the prophet told me to do it. You ever hear that discernment where Brother Branham calls a woman out and said, you're a woman preacher. That's thus saith the Lord. Now it really depends on whether that woman was elected to life and had the baptism of the Holy Ghost or not. How she took that, thus saith the Lord. She was a woman preacher, but she wasn't a God-called woman preacher because there ain't no such thing. There's a great difference. There's woman preachers like there's men preachers, but that don't mean that they're called of God. Now, if she'd really received that, thus saith the Lord, she'd have known that from the Word of God, God don't call women to preach. But she could go back and use that depending on how she heard that and how she took it. Look here, the prophet of God said, thus saith the Lord, I'm a woman preacher. But the word of God said, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over a man. Ask Balaam how God gives you what you want, even though it may not be what you need. Now you see here, Moses is telling them exactly what to do. But what he's telling them to do is exactly what he told them already not to do. And what's he going to do? Because their hearts have left the word, it's going to pull them right in deeper until God will destroy every one of them. Lord have mercy, children, let's not override the word of God. When God tells us something here in his word and then you feel like you get something different than what's written in the word, I'd be scared to death of anything that comes to me contrary to the word. How can the Holy Ghost tell us to do something contrary to what he's already said? The Holy Ghost will never do it. Oh my. Now watch, the prophet has given them divine, seemingly instructions. put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Now watch him turn it around on him. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. Now this is what they accused him of. And it was an accusation to him. But to them, it is a truth. To him, it was a false accusation. But for him saying it to them, it is the truth. Now, tit for tat. It may have seemed like they said one thing and he's saying something else. They said something else and he said something else. And they're tossing back and forth. It ain't no tossing back and forth. They was false accusing. He was saying the truth. But remember, you're the congregation now. You got to choose. Praise the Lord. And Moses said unto Korah, "Here I pray you, you sons of Levi." Oh my. Now remember, this is part of his own family. "Seemeth it but a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself?" What's he doing? Showing them their position. It's a great position. They have a great position. Look, children, if you never do nothing but sweep the concrete steps off out here in front, and God lets you come to this church and you're the Word of God and get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you got eternal life, and you make the rapture, you are one of the most blessed people that lives on the face of this earth. Whether you ever sing a special or not, or where somebody ever calls your name or not, or people don't clap for you as much as they do for so-and-so, that is absolute nonsense. You are blessed to be called out of Laodicea. You are blessed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh my. And this is what he's trying to get them to see they're wrong, by showing what God done for them. Oh my, it's a great thing, he said, that God did for you. Seemeth it but a small thing, the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself. He was bringing them near, but not near enough of what they wanted. Korah wants to be high priest. But God didn't want him to be high priest. Now I ask you, which would he have been better off to do? Packed a chair in the house of God, packed it from one place to another. What do you do, brother? I pack chairs. Well, that's humiliating. I said, well, what do you do? Well, I pack the brass tatchets that hangs the curtain. And what do you do? Well, I pack the stakes. What do you do? I'm the prophet of God. I get to go in God's presence. Who are you? I'm his brother. I get to go in God's presence. What do you do? I pack the hammers that beats the stakes. What do you do? I pack the badger skin that goes on the outer layer. Are you his brother? No, I'm no kin to him. And what do you do? Oh, I just live way outside. I'm the last row, 137th battalion on the backside on the tribe of Judah. Way out of the... What's your name? Caleb is my name. Are you happy? I'm so happy I can't hardly stand myself. You mean you don't get to go on the ark? No, sir. You mean you don't get to pack the Ark of the Covenant? No, sir. Oh, what? Why are you so happy? Because I was a Gentile dog. I didn't deserve God's mercy. Hallelujah! But God called me, and God let me be a part of the tribe of Judah, and I'm just happy to be part of it. Oh, hallelujah! That's a man with another spirit. He don't have to be the main man. He don't have to pack the main thing. He's just glad to be there. To bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. But you see, for the people beneath these people to hear that, they're thinking, wow, what a position. But the way they're hearing it, it's still less than Moses. And it's less than Aaron. Oh yeah, we get to stand before the people, but you get to stand before God. Well, with your attitude, it's a good thing you don't get to stand before God. Notice Moses goes on to say, he has brought thee near to him. And all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And seek ye the priesthood. Also look, friend, they're not one to be Moses. This Korah move was not just wanting everybody to be a prophet, but enter into the priesthood to handle the word. You better be careful when you get on your Facebook page and try to handle the word and interpret it and place some doctrine, this, that, and other. It's one thing to place scriptures to be an encouragement to people. Remember, you go to putting things together. You're not called to do that, laity. I say it again, you are not called to do it. Can't you see what this move was? They're not coming saying, Moses, well, we're sick of you and we don't want no prophet. They're not just wanting Moses' position. They are wanting Aaron's position. Aaron. And seek ye the priesthood also. So now here you can pack the furniture, you can do all this, but that ain't enough for you, is it? Well, what more do you want? Oh my. What's number 16:11? For which cause both thou and thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? This is the real reason, Korah. This is the real reason, Dathan and Abiram. This is why you've gathered together. This is what you've told the people. But back here's the real reason. You want the priesthood. You want to get rid of the God called preacher, ain't you? Oh my. It's an amazing, you know, that God, the way that He takes things like this. They were actually gouging God through Aaron's side. God was feeling the pain, but they were doing it through Aaron's side. Watch in Luke 10:16, he that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. He that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Praise the Lord. If Brother Terry Horn is called of God and sent of God to go preach the word and the people despise him, they despise Jesus. Brother David, Brother Darrell, these other brothers here that are called to preach the gospel, if any of you here tonight despise them, you're despising Jesus. Because they are saying, well, I don't like him. That has nothing to do with it. He don't choose them according to what you and I like. He chooses them according to his own foreknowledge. This is how personally takes it. Now, when they were coming against Moses and coming against Aaron, they were actually gouging God's own side. Notice in St. John 13:20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Paul, on his way to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, he said, well, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. Well, that made no sense. How was he persecuting Jesus? When he's persecuting his bride and his preachers, he's persecuting Jesus. Now, it's not just Moses that is going to get angry, and the Bible says that Moses did get angry, but it was not Moses that was upset, it was God that was upset. You see, for those who stand against God's order, prophets, pastors, teachers, and so on, when they stand against God's order, they're standing against God. The element of people around this message that make fun of preachers and think they don't need preachers, they're not making fun of me. They're not making fun of all the rest of these preachers. They're making fun of Jesus Christ himself. And they listen to tapes and think they're so close to God and yet make fun of the very thing that's on those tapes. Come on. Will they go on the rapture? How can they go on the rapture with that attitude on them? How will God, if you, well, you'll say, well, what, I believe Malachi for, but you can't just believe Malachi for, you got to believe Ephesians for. Because that's one of God's words. What is it? It's God's order. Well, we don't need preachers. Preachers mess everything up. Well, I agree. The element of preachers mess things up, but there's an element of preachers that fix things up. There's an element of lay folks that mess things up, but there's also an element of lay folks that fix things up. So we can't take it that way. We've got to realize it's God's word. If there ain't but 500 of them around the world, God will have pastors that are true. God will have some evangelists that are true. That's not my reputation at stake. That's Almighty God's reputation at stake. If God can produce a prophet, God can produce a pastor. If God can produce a pastor, God can produce an evangelist. If God can produce an evangelist, He'll produce the rest of the fold of the ministry, because it is His honor and His word at stake. Right. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I've been hurt by preachers. I have too, but I still believe in them. Who do you figure was hurt by preachers more, you or Brother Branham? Huh? You mean to tell me Brother Branham was hurt by preachers more than you? And Brother Branham still believed in preachers? As a matter of fact, Brother Branham hoped his two boys would be preachers. Why? So he could see them damned to hell? Because to him, it was the greatest honor there was in the earth. It still is. I hate to deflate Mr. Obama, but I have a higher office than he does. Amen. That's exactly right. He's trying his best to destroy us. I'm trying my best to get you out of here. Well, glory. YouTube, here we come. Right back where we started from. Wow, you know, it's a preacher got more. Absolutely. A preacher's dealing with eternal life. A preacher is dealing with souls that never did start. Never had no beginning and never have no end. We say, why would God do such a thing? I'm not sure exactly, but all I know is He did it. But Brother Donnie, the Bible said preaching is foolishness, and I'll be the first preacher to amen that quote. But somehow through foolishness, God chose to use it anyhow. He could have chose a donkey, He could have chose a moon or the sun, but He chose men, fill them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, give them the leadership of the Spirit of God, and said, if you don't receive them, you're lost. Whoa. My. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Notice this, friends, in Numbers chapter 16, verse 12. We'll look at it, Lord willing, next week. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Look how rebellious and how disrespectful that they had gotten. How can anyone have this attitude toward a prophet of God and ever go any farther with God? They can't. They can't. When you tell Moses that, you're telling God, mind your own business. Leave me alone. Oh, I want to be obedient to His order, don't you? Praise God. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are, Lord, for Your divine order. Oh, Jesus, I thank You so much. Where would we be today as Happy Valley Church if You hadn't sent a prophet of God with the message? If somehow it would have worked out that I would have landed here years and years ago. As a matter of fact, I was supposed to preach here in Johnson City whenever I was a Pentecostal preacher. I didn't know it till after I'd came here, but it was some people who had left this church when this church had come to the message. They'd heard me preach, and I was supposed to come and hold a meeting for them. And the preacher got sick, and I wasn't able to come. But we'd pass through here from time to time on our way to Delaware. But if it had worked out where I'd have landed in here and this had been a Pentecostal church and I'd have wound up being the pastor somehow, and we'd still been called the same thing, Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ, because it's not really a message title. It's not a denominational title. It's the name of this place and Your name merged with it. So it could have still been called a Pentecostal church and remained by that same name. And tonight I'd have come to this platform, a Pentecostal. We'd had one God. We'd had water baptism in the name of Jesus. We'd had our perception of holiness. We'd went down through the regulars of Pentecost. These people would have sat here and amened and hollered and screamed, whatever more. But, oh God, You sent us a prophet. And it changed everything. Changed the way we believed about the Godhead. Changed the way we believed about water baptism. It changed so much. Church order. Changed our approach. Changed our faith. Praise God. How I want to thank you tonight for a prophet of God and his message. Let people ridicule, make fun. I feel sorry for them. We're not here to condemn them. We're not here to hate anyone. But I myself am so grateful for Malachi 4. I thank you, Lord, that my life was able to be intercepted by the order of Malachi 4. I remember what I was before I came to Malachi 4. Oh, yes. I wasn't drinking. I wasn't running around. Wasn't committing adultery. No, sir. Wasn't smoking. Wasn't doing none of that. Living a good, clean, holiness life. But I still knew there had to be something more. Didn't have televisions. Didn't have none of that stuff even back there in Pentecost. So I didn't give up my television when it came to the message. Never had one. We didn't give up a lot of things to come to the message because I didn't live that way anyway. So it wasn't that that got me. But there's something about this way this man talked about Jesus. Hallelujah. And when I heard him tell that Rebecca went down there and she began to water them camels, little did she know that same camel that she watered would pack her to her bridegroom. Amen. Hallelujah. Then I realized on the way back to the camel train, as you give me that thought years and years ago, Eliezer, tell me more. I realized I was blessed to be riding on the back of this camel. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Heading into the presence of my bridegroom. Feeding on the revealed word of Malachi 4. Praise be to God. While the rest of the world's looking on and making fun and criticizing and saying, oh, they've gone crazy. They left out of here following a man. We sure did. There went Rebecca following a man she'd never met before and never seen before. She had no documents, no proof. There was no sheriff with her, no deputy department, nothing like that. She had this one man's word, but he had gifts and signs. And there was an angel that went down there, hallelujah, before him. And there was a vindication that struck Rebecca's heart that was beyond explanation. And when her mom and her brother called her in there and said, this man wants you to go, what will you do? She said, I will go. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They had no fax machine, no text where they could verify this man's identity. They didn't even know for sure that he was who he said he was. But there was something down inside of her that matched that man's voice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, truly the way it is with the real elect of God. It ain't the human part, Lord, that we see or hear. The humanity of Brother Branham don't stumble us. The frailty, the misquoting of scriptures and this and that. That ain't the point that called us know-how. It was the voice of the bridegroom. It was the voice of the bridegroom that we heard through Malachi 4. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Now we're on the back of this camel going right back, and that's why we love to praise when we get in the presence of the Holy Ghost. This camel, this Holy Ghost that's going to pack us back. We want to water it right here tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh my, it won't be long. We'll be looking out through there and we'll see him coming across the field because we know he'll leave his home. He'll meet us between his home and our home. As she came across on the back of the camel and she looked across there and saw a man and she said, who is that coming? And here the servant of God said, or the servant of Isaac said, it is my Lord. It is my Lord. And Rebecca grabbed the veil and veiled herself. And when she got up close to where he was, the Bible says she lighted off of the camel. And Isaac took her into his mother's tent. And he knew her and she became his wife. Oh, praise be to God, Lord. One day soon, the resurrection will come forth and the prophet messenger of this age will present the bride of this age. We're not going to get married to him, Lord. We're not joining an eternal wedlock with him. But that messenger will present those overcomers of this age. Amen. And we will be consummated to the bridegroom himself. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for sending Elijah to us, Lord. Let people laugh, ridicule, make fun, but I'll guarantee you one thing. That little old woman down there, hallelujah, she was so grateful she could stand up and say, thank God for sending me Elijah. Thank God for sending me Elijah. Thank God when my meal barrel was run dry and my cruise of oil was fixing to run away. What did God do? He didn't send a pope. He didn't send a whole ceremony of preachers, but God sent Elijah. When our Pentecostal and Baptist and Methodist message was all running out and our cruise of oil was down to the very last jot, we didn't hardly have enough life to even get us to go to church, but God sent us Elijah. Amen! And the meal barrel exploded. Hallelujah to God, and the cruise of oil got tapped into the river of the water of life. And ever since then, Lord, we've been eating and drinking. Amen! And now we're getting ready to get up that strength to gird up our loins and outrun the chariot of time. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you. Thank you, dear Jesus. Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord. Don't you love him, children? Aren't you glad God let the message of Malachi 4 cross your path? Praise be to God. I was saved before I heard this message, friends. I already had a baptism of the Holy Ghost in my spirit before I heard of this message. I'd done cast out devils, laid hands on the sick, seen all kinds of signs took place, miracles. I'd preached all kinds of meetings, but somehow I knew there had to be something else. There had to be something else more than what I was feeding on and where I was going. It was that Malachi 4 I was hungering for. I love my Bible. Hey, I read my Bible then and I was known in the ranks of Pentecostal quoting my Bible. I could quote verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. I didn't fall in love with my Bible just whenever I fell in this message. And neither did I put my Bible away. I still believe my Bible. Because this message never led me away from my Bible. It led me to a greater love and a greater understanding of my Bible than I've ever had. But would I want to go back to just my Bible without my understanding? No, sir. No, sir, I would not. Because what I'm reading now, what I'm reading in the Song of Solomon even, it is a book. Hallelujah. I've read that book for my whole life. But thanks be to God, the opening of the word under Malachi 4 takes the cover off of the whole thing. Amen. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. As he has declared to his servants, the prophets. Praise God. Praise God. Let us be like Aaron. Let us be like Caleb. Let us take our stand. We'll look at it next week. Can you imagine Aaron? Vindicated and called by God. But on the morrow, Aaron stands right there with the censer in his hand. Like he's only a candidate by which God might choose. These people are so critical that Aaron has to actually humble himself in the face of their criticism. Humble himself and act as if though he's not even called of God. So he walks right up there with a censer like the rest of them impersonators. But a real God-called man knows his call. Let's stand like Caleb. Call us a dog. Call us whatever you want to call us. But when Jesus calls me, call me gone. Praise be to God. Call me gone. Make fun of me. Call me a Kenosite. Call me whatever you want to call me. But listen real close to my tent. What in the world is that noise? So Uncle Donnie. He's out there sharpening his sword. It's about 18 inches shorter than it was 40 years ago, but man, you better watch it. It's sharp. You imagine old Caleb sitting back there for years and years and years and late night to hear him. Said, what in the world? Is that a noise machine? Is that a sound maker? It's old Uncle Caleb. He swears up and down. He's going to cut one of them big necks. Remember them sons of Anak? The word Anak means big neck. Them other men looked at that and said, Lord, have mercy. How in the world could you be able to fight a man like that? And Caleb looked at that and said, Lord, have mercy. How could you miss a neck that big? Man, slice that dude open like a smoked sausage. I'm telling you one thing. Let's go get him, boys. Let's go get him. Why? Because he had another spirit in him. A Gentile which believed God was. What about it, Gentiles? Let us draw our sword. Let us draw our sword, Gentile warriors. And let's bring Jesus a fresh drink of water. Let's bring Jesus a fresh drink of water. He's sick of our denominationalism. He's sick of our cold systems. Let's bring Jesus a fresh drink. Oh, I hear Brother Branham say it there in Arizona when he says, you Bethlehem dwellers, he said, how many will come and stand by my side tonight and draw our swords, and let's bring Jesus a fresh drink of water. I'll stand with you, Brother Branham. Anybody want to stand with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to fight to 7 miles of Philistines and 7 miles back. Let's do it. If our Jesus wants a fresh drink, let's get it. Amen. Hallelujah. I stood several years ago in Nairobi, Kenya, and the Lord gave me that thought, a drink for the king. You can imagine about 2,000 blacks, Africans, and they wouldn't like you white folks. They come to stay all day for church. I mean, they come to have church, and I preached about an hour and 15 or 20 minutes and started to shut down. I thought this was going to mob me. No, no, no. They were begging. And whenever I finished preaching, I was so sick, I barely even made it to the platform. Got food poisoning. Barely made it to the platform, but the anointing come. Oh, my, did he show up. Me and Brother Paul, the little interpreter, about this big. He's one of them kind of guys you love preaching with. Because when you say something, he grabs a hold of you, he stops and grabs a hold of you like that, and then he interprets it. Time I got done, them people, it was like a roar in that place. A roar, them black hands going up in the presence of God, worshiping God. I left because I was sick. They stayed for another 2 hours. You know what they're doing? They wanted to give Jesus a drink, a fresh drink, a Pentecostal water. I think sometimes he gets sick of our old stagnated Happy Valley cistern water. Well, we got to do it this way, and we got to do it this way, and got to do it this way. I think sometimes he wants us to break out of our little routine. Well, here, Jesus, this is all I can do. It's not for you and I to say how our king ought to drink. If he wants to drink it fast, let him drink it fast. If he wants a fresh drink, I want to bring it to him. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Them warriors that was identified with David, one of them jumped down in the pit and killed a lion. Another one took his sword and killed 300 men. But remember, they knew David was coming to power. So do we know our Jesus is coming to power. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Let's just love him a little for it, y'all. Oh my, let's not miss an opportunity, friends, just to make love to our King. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you and we love your order. We love your word. We love you, Lord Jesus. We want to follow out in line with the word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I desire not to be a great person, a big person, just your person. Help each of us, Lord, whether we sing or write songs or play an instrument or we're just a janitor of the church or we're just a lay member, as we'd say, well, I'm just a lay member. But what does that mean to say I'm a lay member which believes the word of God for the hour? What an honor it is, Lord. May each of us find our place and be happy in it, Lord Jesus. Oh, grant it, I pray, Father. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Don't you love him, children? Let's just worship him a little before we go. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God.
We worship you, Lord Jesus. And remember, his loves, loves plural. He manifests himself in so many different ways. Look how he come through here Saturday night. And look at the different administration on Sunday. A little bit different here tonight. But we want to accept any way he wants to come. We're not going to tell him. Back in Pentecost, if you have a certain type of meeting and you like that way, you want to produce the same thing the next night and the next night and the next night. Surely we're more mature than that now. Whatever he wants to send, that's what we want for that night, isn't it? Let's just worship him together. We got a few people that need prayer. Sing something for us, Harry. Hallelujah.
I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I sing. I love you, my Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Carol, Sister Sharon has been taking treatments for cancer, and she took one last week, and it's left her really, really, really sick. Had a virus, a couple other things that's going on, not been able to eat. I believe God can move right now, don't you? Brother Arley, while you're streaming the service tonight, I want you to go over to Sharon, and I want you to lay your hands on her. Your little children gather around that monitor there in your living room. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as I lay my hands on Carol, she stands in tonight for Sharon. Lord Jesus, our hand is short. It can't reach from here all the way down to Jamestown, Kentucky. But your hand is not short. But Heavenly Father, we want to appropriate the faith tonight to ask you, Lord, to move for Sharon. You see, Lord, that she's been really, really sick. Lord God, we want to join our faith together as your children and ask you tonight, Lord. Father, I pray while her husband or her little children there are gathered around the computer monitor, in the name of Jesus, that they lay their hands over on their mama. May the presence of God just surge through her body. Hey, hallelujah. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, may you move for her, Lord. You're that same one that moved among the children of Israel as a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire.
Lord, as you were seen right here among us Saturday night in that same form. Hallelujah. We believe you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord God, may you touch her. May you give her strength, Lord. Lord, I sense your presence here right now. So, Lord, I go ahead and ask you for the rest of those that are sick, present, those that are streaming. In the name of Jesus, may their faith be able to reach out right now, Lord God. You are a mighty conqueror. Lord Jesus, may you move for your children, Lord. May the power of God, I pray, touch your children. Heavenly Father, we thank you for moving for Sister Karen Pruitt, Lord, and letting her come home today. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for our sister that there be no lingering effects of this condition in her body. Lord Jesus, may you make her well. Grant it, Father, for every other need of the saint of God, may you move for your children. I believe, Lord, that we're on the brink of you manifesting yourself among your people, us seeing the living God walk among us. Not to prove this preacher and that preacher, but to prove that you're among your body. To prove that you're among your people. Grant it, Lord God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord Jesus. Mighty God. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sharon, you believe He's among us? Yes, He's among us. He's here to meet our needs. Give us strength, courage, hope. Amen. Let your faith reach out to Him tonight. Touch Him. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus.
And touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment. Your need He will supply. You reach out the Lord as He goes by.
Let's sing it together now.
Reach out
and touch your Lord as He goes by. You'll find Him coming.
He's not too busy to hear your
presence tonight. Thank you for your word. Oh God, I pray you'd go with us now as we leave. Bring us back again this weekend if it be pleasing to you, Lord. Strengthen your saints, visible and invisible audience tonight. Give us that which we have need of, Lord. We love you with all of our hearts. Go with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. I'll see you this weekend. Be good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Go with the Lord. May the peace of God be with you. Sing it together as we go. Reach out and touch the Lord.